once roamed the Eugene TV airwaves for KEZI, now an anchor or reporter for ABC 11 Eyewitness News, WTVD in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina. You can follow along on Twitter. The handle is at Kate Rogerson TV. KR, always great having you back. How's life in the Tar Heel State?
Today it is 90 and it is sunny, and as much as I miss the Pacific Northwest, I think every time I come on the show I talk about the rain, it makes you appreciate these sunny days that I get down here. But Tar Heel State's great, but nothing compares to good old Eugene, Steve.
90 degrees. Yikes. It's May. So when I think about the first time we talked on this show a few years ago, it was Oregon State. They were in their bowl games. And part of today's chat will be Stanley Cup hockey. So I just love that whole full circle. But first, being a New Englander from Weymouth, Massachusetts, how big was NHL hockey in Kate's personal circle of sports?
I mean, growing up in Boston and the Massachusetts area, like, you can't not be a sports fan. It's in your blood. It's what's going on. I was fortunate that my entire, first 22 years of my life, Tom Brady was pretty much a quarterback, the New England Patriots. So all we really knew was winning, and I know that's not the case for everyone. So being a part of a sports town, a sports culture, it was in your blood. You didn't have a choice. So growing up, I was a really big Bruins fan. They won the Cup, obviously, in 2011, and then lost to the Blackhawks in 13, should have won it in 19. So I love hockey, of course, back in the Northeast. It gets cold, so you can actually skate on the pond and feel like you're in the hockey weather. Where here in North Carolina, it's a little bit different. Sometimes I'll be outside going live before a game, and it will be 80 degrees. People are tailgating in the parking lot. You go inside PNC Arena, and it's 45 degrees. So you really get a full circle. We talk about full circle. You'll get the full weather experience here in North Carolina when it comes to hockey.
Yeah, now, when people think about where you are now, I mean, being there on Tobacco Road, we know college basketball is like lord and master. In the South, football is huge. You've got NFL. How would you describe the level of fan passion for the Hurricanes, their NHL franchise?
Raleigh specifically really, really, really loves the Hurricanes. And it's kind of unique in a way, because when you move to this area, everyone asks you, okay, who's your team? What's your team? Expecting you to root for North Carolina, Duke, or NC State. So the Canes are kind of like the ringleader of it all, right? It doesn't matter which college team you root for. Everyone has one local hockey team to get behind and support. And it's very unique in a way at the same time, too, because the Canes came down here to Raleigh in 97. So they've been here for about 26 years. So they're a newer franchise to the area. In this city specifically, Raleigh, Durham, Chapel Hill, is growing and booming. So it's full of transplants. So it's kind of unique because you have a bunch of people who maybe aren't the traditional hockey fans based on where they come from, as you mentioned, with things like basketball, golf, baseball, football being the dominant sport. So they've really embraced the culture, and it feels very, very community-driven, which I think is so unique, because when you think about the original six teams, you know, like I said, Boston, Chicago, New York, whatever it may be, it's just kind of a part of the tradition. So being a part of the new traditions here and this new wave of success of the Hurricanes and Rod Brind'Amour bringing the organization back to life like he did in 2006 has been a really cool experience.
And, of course, they relocated from New England. So I think they relocated and waited for you for about a quarter century, Kate. So you mentioned Brind'Amour, who, it's funny because I've disliked him most of his career because he was with the Flyers, but he was the captain of their cup-winning team going back to 06, and they just played the Rangers. And while the Rangers are not the biggest New York team, their fans, I've always said, are the most nuts. So tell me about your experience seeing playoff action, getting to cover it at Madison Square Garden.
Yeah, I mean, all anyone ever talks about is Madison Square Garden. And, of course, when I think of the Garden, I think of the Boston Garden.
Right.
But getting to go to Madison Square Garden, the world's most famous arena, was a bucket list item that I was so thrilled to be able to check off. I know the hockey crowd and the basketball crowd in terms of fans, whether you're a Knicks fan or a Rangers fan, are very different. But getting to be inside MSG for playoff hockey, especially given the two of the first three games I covered there with the Rangers winning, going up 2-0, was absolutely nuts. Where they have the media sit on the Chase Bridge, you're like in the nosebleeds, but you're like hanging over. So anytime the Rangers score, that thing starts shaking. So you're really inside the environment up there. And super unique, again, to just being such a historic arena, historic place, both sports and entertainment-wise, and see the passion of the New York City fans. I do miss that that Northeast mentality. Isn't quite down here in Raleigh, so getting to be around it on the mean streets of New York was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you seem like you're having a great time. That was awesome. And, of course, it looked like it was an obliteration. The Rangers went up 3-0. There was an overtime, a double overtime, and then the Canes respond, win games 4 and 5, go back to PNC. So up 3-1 entering the third period, when you think about the frenzy of the Garden when Chris Kreider stole the show with his hat trick, how could you describe the feeling at PNC Arena as it slipped away?
Yeah, PNC, the fans, the Caniacs, as they call themselves, they are rowdy. And I would even argue that PNC might feel a little bit louder than the Madison Square Garden can at times. Maybe it's just the structure of it, or because the location of the fans, whatever it may be. Both arenas were so, so loud, filled with passionate fans. But it was like the life got sucked out of the arena. The Carolina Hurricanes should have never gone down 2-0. And part of that is credit, obviously, to the way the Rangers played, their power play, their penalty kill, and Igor just being stone cold between the pipes. So the Canes should have won, right? Like, they had it. It felt like the momentum was in their hands. And all of a sudden, the Rangers, I mean, they were the President's Cup trophy winners for a reason, the best team in the league, deflated the energy in that building. And last weekend when we were at exit interviews with the Hurricanes, it was one of those things. It had been 48 hours, and all those guys, you could tell, they're still not over it. Say what you want about just turning the page, but a loss like that will sting for a long, long time to come. If anything, getting swept when the Hurricanes got swept last year in the Eastern Conference Finals versus Florida Panthers stunk, but this feels worse because the Hurricanes had an opportunity to tie things up, go back to MSG, and I honestly don't know who would have won Game 7 at the Garden. Of course, Ranger fans are going to say, there's no way we lose at home, but that was just a phenomenal, phenomenal series of hockey, and it's been such a joy to cover the team and get an inside look at the NHL circuit.
Oh, once it's Game 7 after you blow a 3-0 lead, it's a toss-up. That would have been a nightmare. Let's bang gears. Talking with former KEZI anchor Kate Rogerson, now part of the team at WTVD in Raleigh-Durham. And I want to get to North Carolina football. You know, Oregon played them the year before last. We saw their stud quarterback, Drake May, go third in the NFL draft. By the way, to Kate's Patriots. So what have you been telling your New England people about perhaps the Brady heir apparent?
You know, I wasn't too sure how to feel. Drake is a really, really nice kid and embodies kind of just, I guess, what you want a quarterback to be in terms of being selfless, being a leader, putting it on the line for his team, both physically and mentally. If you've watched any of his games, you know he can chuck that thing 65 yards down the field or put his body on the line and run into a linebacker and not be afraid to get taken down. So I think the way he plays is super unique because physicality-wise, heck of a lot different than when we're used to seeing Tom Brady play, right? That dude could run maybe 3 yards and he'd slide down. It was the slowest 3-yard rush of your life, where Drake has a little bit more wheels, obviously. Age-wise, totally different. I think something unique about Drake is North Carolina football has the history, but they're not getting all the 5 stars and the top guys where Mac Jones at Alabama was surrounded by the best of the best during their time. So it will be interesting to see how Drake plays in an NFL-style offense where he is surrounded by really great players. Not to say North Carolina football doesn't have a lot of talent, but last year was kind of one of those things where you didn't know what he was going to get out of his receivers. You didn't know how people were going to show up. So I think being in an NFL-style offense with first-year head coach Gerard Mayo is going to be a little bit of an experiment. I hope it gets better than it was for Patriots fans, but I guess that's the risk you take with the NFL, right? You don't know year to year to have a dynasty. You realize now how special and how unique and how much work that takes. So Drake May definitely has his work cut out for him in the big leagues.
You know, I always geek out when a duck lands with one of my teams, be it Kayvon Thibodeau at the Giants or Sabrina. But so I kind of know where you're at there. So moving to college hoops, you know, you and I spoke after the ACC tournament, and then you went on like the Kate Rogerson whirlwind tour. I want to start with the NC State men. I know they got knocked off in the Final Four, but where you are, what kind of frenzy did it cause among Wolfpack fans to beat Duke to get to the Final Four?
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't anywhere near Raleigh or near NC State's campus, but all you saw on social media, all you heard from people in the community, all you saw on TV were NC State fans going absolutely bananas. There's a bell tower on NC State's campus, and every time NC State won, they light the tower red, and campus went shut down because everyone was just running and making their way. The bars were packed. So to see Raleigh kind of, I don't know the right word for it, rally around the Wolfpack, I mean, this place is filled with tons of Wolfpack fans. They're everywhere, but to see the Wolfpack have their moment and what the last 20 years have been dominated by both UNC and Duke basketball. For them to make history, win the ACC for the first time since 87 and go back to the Final Four since 84, the days of Jimmy V. Just hearing the stories of people's moms and dads being at State during 84, and now their kids doing it. It made you realize the impact of college sports, how just it's so much bigger than a game. It brings people together, brings families together, and it just brings so much joy to people's lives. So I was nowhere near Raleigh, but everywhere I was covering NC State, it was a party.
Yeah, it was amazing how many shots I saw of grave sites with flowers on them saying, Dad would have loved to have been here, Uncle would have been loved to have been here. Just a wild celebration. Kate, the last thing I want to get to is the women's Final Four. You were in Cleveland, and while the Wolfpack women lost to South Carolina, you got to witness, I guess we could call it Caitlin Mania firsthand. What could you tell us about the crowd, that zany finish against UConn, and just to get to see that phenomenon?
Yeah, first time in Cleveland, a very, very cool city. An interesting location, I would say, personally, for a Final Four, because I feel like a lot of times they're in warmer climates, they're big, bustling sports cities. Not that Cleveland isn't. Cleveland was great. But the area outside of Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse is just covered in Caitlin Clark jerseys. And as someone who grew up watching women's basketball, watching women's sports, watching, Maya Moore in the days of UConn dominating, to see just the evolution of women's basketball and so many people rally behind it and getting more media coverage, it is really remarkable that she's kind of at the forefront of it. There have been so many legends and so many players in the past and in the game now that are finally getting the attention they deserve. But just getting to see people of all ages, again, kind of just come together and support women's basketball. I think if you told any of us 5 years ago that this is what the women's Final Four would be with the ratings and the numbers and the jersey sales and NIL, I don't know if anyone would truly believe it. So getting to see Caitlin play was so unique, and getting to watch her interact with people. Again, kind of like I said with NC State, moments like this, it just is a reminder of how, yeah, sports is sports, but it's so much more than just a game to all of us. It gives people something to root for. It brings people together. It brings joy to your life. So whether you're a Caitlin Clark fan, an NC State fan, Oregon State, Oregon fan, that's, I think, the joy and the thrill of covering sports and why so many of us love it so much.
So cool you got to experience that. Folks, she's Kate Rogerson, amazing young sports journalist, now keeping the folks in the Raleigh-Durham area informed. ABC Eyewitness News, WTVD. Keep up on Twitter at Kate Rogerson TV. KR, you're the best. Much appreciate you coming on the show. Be well, and of course, always look forward to talking again soon.
Thanks, Steve. Anytime, you know where to find me.
You got it. Take care, Kate.